Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
I want to start with a scripture that's really a prayer of David in Psalm 141. I just want to read one verse there, and it reads like this. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep a watch over the door of my lips. Wouldn't that be just a great way to start every meeting that you go to during the week? Wouldn't that just be a great way? You're there for your staff meeting or your team meeting or your family meeting or whatever it is and say, well, we have our agenda, but before we start, let's just read this scripture. The imagery here is strong. You know, David's saying, Lord, would you just please, as if you could set, you know, military personnel at the entrance of my mouth to slay anything that is about to come out of it that is going to create trouble for me or for other people. Just slay it, you know. And not on the outside, but on the inside. Because once it comes out, once it gets past these lips of ours, you know, can you recall? That's probably better. Can you recall a time, that one time in your life, where you said something and it's like, quick, flip the bail and start reeling this stuff back in as fast as you can. And by then, you know, it's just too late. Your audience has heard you, whether it's one person or multiple people or whatever it is. And now, you know, trouble stirs. Obviously, you know, being a pastor and being in ministry for a long time, I won't tell you how long, but a long time. Okay, 31 years coming up on. I know, thank you for a few of you who sitting in the back who said, he doesn't even look that old. Thank you for your kind words. You don't have to take those back. I will tell you, you know, because of being a pastor and part of what we do is sitting with people and listening to people and for them to share some complications maybe that they're going through in life and to sit and encourage and, you know, share scripture and continue to listen and just maybe share some considerations and just be an encouragement to help people navigate, you know, through whatever they face. And so I will tell you this, that I'm not going to give you a percentage. I'm just going to tell you a great percentage, way more than half the time, when I sit with people, what they share and the trouble that seems to be brewing in their life, most of the time it has to do with a relationship. Conflict with another person or people. Now, you know, our worship and our walk with the Lord, you know, the commandments are summed up in these two things. Jesus says, love the Lord your God, right? First, with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love the Lord your God. And the second commandment is like it. And he says, love your neighbor as yourself. Who's your neighbor? And they go through those questions, and it's basically, you know, the person near you now, person in your neighborhood, all the people passing by the church this morning, our community, wherever we are, we travel, we go on vacation, the people around us, you know, we're to love them like we love ourselves. So this connection between commandment 1 and 2, love the Lord your God, I want you to know that that is not independent of the second command. Some of our significant and meaningful worship that we give to the Lord is how we treat the people around us. So our worship to the Lord and loving the Lord, our God, is not limited to this praise and singing that we had this morning. It's not limited to saying a scripture out loud. It's not limited to just prayer. Part of our worship and loving the Lord our God first is very much connected to how we treat the people around us. That is part of our worship to the Lord, just like singing praise, reading the scripture, praying, doing good things, giving, whatever the list is. It is connected. It is not independent of. You know, many people who volunteer in ministry, or those who've been in full-time ministry, it doesn't take terribly long or too many encounters where sometimes they begin to feel the old adage that says, you know, I love the Lord, I love ministry, but it's the people that I struggle with, that I have conflict with. And so, you know, here we are trying to live for the Lord, know Him, be a good testimony, and the people around us keep trying to mess us up. I mean, let's face it, it's always all their fault. That was sarcasm in its purest form right there, by the way. So here we are. We want to love the Lord, but it's connected to loving people. And when I sit with friends and they talk and they share, and if it has to do with relationship with people in the conflict, I'll, you know, just kind of generally work my way into asking a couple questions, maybe about a past discussion they've had or some multiple discussions they've had. When I sit with, engaged couples who are going to be married, you know, we spend some time on communication. Now, I want you to know, when I sit with them, I don't just, you know, say, well, you need to be better communicators. I ask probing questions that get them to talk about their life. So it's very personal. It's not just, well, we all need to communicate better. It's not this big banner. It's specifically in our life, in their life, what has unfolded? What was the discussion? What was said? And we work our way through that. People come, they can even be adults and say, I've got such trouble with my parents, or I've always had a strained relationship with my dad, or I've got a coworker, I've got the, you know, whatever it is. And I want to try to save us some trouble that isn't necessary. I mean, we can't avoid all trouble in this life. We live in this world. And as believers, sometimes part of the problem when we live together, all of us, and we share life together and we talk, we communicate, sometimes it's the words we say, sometimes it's the way we say them. And we can't have the attitude of saying, I didn't say anything wrong, and if they took it wrong, that's their problem, and, you know, they're just going to have to deal with it. Those are usually indicators that, you know, we probably said it in a less than appropriate manner. See, sometimes we just focus on the words we say and not on how we communicate it. Turn to the person next to you and say, you've probably done that before. You've probably done that before, you know. Here's a real pitfall for us who are believers, who are Christians. Here's a real pitfall. Is if we're having a relationship conflict with another believer, another Christian, it's this. And it comes back to usually something they said or how they said it that, you know, creates this offense, this hurt, whatever it is. Here's the pitfall that you and I step in. When it's believer to believer or believer to believers or however many people are involved, it's this. They're a Christian, and so therefore, our expectation of their conduct and how they talk and what they're going to say, how they say it, is a very high standard. Because they're professing Christ. They're professing faith. They're professing that they're a follower of Jesus. And therefore, we put this expectation on them that they should be perfect. That no inappropriate word would come from their mouth, and they wouldn't string some things together in an offensive manner, and the way that they share it would be loving. Well, here's the problem. Though we are believers, we are not finished transforming yet. Right? We're in a process. We're still in the process. And when we understand process, we understand that there's going to be some shortcomings along the way, but hopefully we're gaining ground, that we're moving along. And when we come with this expectation that you should know better, and I have a higher expectation of you, and you should be perfect because you're supposed to be like Jesus, who you say you're following. Obviously, the way you talked and the way you said it, you're not really that close of a follower. And we go through this stuff in our mind. Here's the interesting thing. If it goes beyond just you and another person, and now you have multiple listeners, two or more people, they each have their expectation of what perfect is. So now you, the one who's speaking, talking at the moment in your conversation with them, you are trying to meet their expectation of perfection in the way you communicate. But here's the deal. Not each of them have the same expectation of what perfection looks like. Because they each have their own history, just like you and I. And sometimes because of what's happened in our life, we hear through the filter of our past. How was this said to me before? Was that ever said to me? Oh, their voice inflection reminded me of when I got hurt before by, you know, my dad or my mom's expression. They had a similar, and all of a sudden it triggers this stuff in them. And now all of a sudden, you know, we didn't know about it. We didn't know all their past. We didn't mean to push their button. They just got this sensitive spot because it's never been resolved in their life. It's just grown over and it's scar tissue, but it still festers underneath. And so we can't control that. That's where we all need to grow up and say, you know, Lord, you need the delivery of my past, the voices of my past, how it was said, what was said, so that when I communicate now, and it might stir up a memory from the past, I'm not taking out that offense on this other person. We need to grow up. If you're a believer, you and I just need to grow up. We need to mature, and we need to move beyond it. He who the Lord has set free is free indeed, free from those things, that we need to become like him. You know, we've been hurt somewhere, many times maybe in our past, and so we just develop this edge to be harsh. And so we come across harsh. Maybe the words we said, there was nothing wrong with the words, but the way that we delivered it was completely wrong. I'm not going to degrade the ministry and refer to it as in a people business. But I will tell you that I am with people. And I watch and I listen and I see stuff coming. I've been on large staffs in meetings with pastors and other people in full-time ministry and sitting around the big conference tables and in the smaller meetings and in the big meeting and in the inner office meetings and all of this. And I watch this and I see words come out and I just like, oh, yep, trouble's going to brew from this. You know, you live in a home. I haven't lived by myself since college. Well, just after college. Stayed single for a while, got married. I haven't lived by myself. So, you know, as soon as you start adding people into your group, conversation's going to start. And the chances are something's going to be said that maybe you've took wrong. Maybe you heard it just right. And you're going to have to sort through how you're going to deal with it. We're going to respond. We're going to react. We're going to go through this. I want us to look at some scriptures that are pretty clear on how we should conduct ourselves and how this prayer of David's is so sincere. O Lord, set a guard over my mouth. Please watch over the door of my lips. We're going to start here. It's not going to be on the screen, but I'm going to read to you. And you know, probably most of you know where we're going to go. We're going to go to James chapter 3. We're going to jump in on verse 2. It says, for we all stumble in many ways. Turn to the person next to you and say, come on, be honest. Tell them, be honest. We all stumble in many ways. Tell them. Come on. We all stumble in many ways. So watch this. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says or they say, that is a perfect man. Perfect person. Able also to bridle his whole body. It's interesting how we focus our energies on self-improvement. I don't want us to just bypass this. You know, we work on different areas in our life of self-improvement. The Holy Spirit convicts us of something as a believer, and we've got to work on that area. But rather than spraying all over the map and working on all these different things in our life, I'd like us to clue into something here. Because James writes, he says, if a person can basically master and bridle, you know, their tongue, the words that they say, if they don't stumble in what they communicate and how they communicate it, this person is able also to bridle and discipline their whole being, their whole body. So, in other words, all these self-improvement things that we're trying to respond to the Holy Spirit with and Scripture with and where we need to improve and our character and our virtue of the Lord to become like Him, and obviously with the grace and mercy and the help of the Holy Spirit in our life. But if we were to maybe not spend as much energy on all of these things and we would focus more on how we communicate, what's coming up out of our heart, out of our mouth, and how it comes out, that if we were able to master and bridle that, it says that the whole body would be bridled. In other words, if we can master this area, the discipline of that, the growth in that, the maturity in what comes out of our mouth and how we communicate it, the overflow is that everything else is going to be bridled in our life. And here we are trying to work on this and work on that and work on this and work on that. And I'm not saying we shouldn't pay attention and give some energy and cooperation with the Holy Spirit in those areas. But if we will, you know, concentrate our energy on how we speak and what we speak, and we can, the Holy Spirit can bridle that in our life, our whole body, our whole being will move along with it. And we will gain ground. And those areas will be under discipline. James goes on, he says, if we put bits in the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it makes great boasts. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire or just a spark. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell itself. I want us to pause here. It's making reference that our tongue, this small little piece of our being, is able to stain our whole body, our whole reputation, who we are. Look it. It says it there. The tongue is among our members, right? Part of who we are. Staining the whole body. It's interesting, you know. We can look at someone and they have admirable qualities and we see them do some admirable things. And then we listen to them speak or say something that probably isn't the best. It's less than desirable. It's less than commendable. Either what they said or how they said it or both. And all of a sudden, the admirable qualities that we noticed about them don't shine so brightly anymore in our eyes. Because what came out here and how it came out has stained the whole person. It's giving a snapshot to people of who we are, and now it has influenced what they think of us because of what we said and how we said it, and all the other things that seem to be good or fruitful in our life seem to be diminished because we stained our personhood by what we said and how we said it. And I want you to know, when it says it stained the whole body, I want you to know that what comes out of your mouth and how it comes out of your mouth, it doesn't just stain you and tarnish you. It stains those who you associate with. I'll give you an example when it has to do with Christendom. You see, somebody in the community knows that you go to church here, New Life. And they hear what you say and how you say it. It doesn't just stain you. It says, wow, and they go to that church over there. That's what those people are like. You could say that's unfair. Listen, I don't care if it's unfair or not. The scripture says that what comes out of our mouth and how it comes out of our mouth stains our whole body, stains the whole body of Christ. And you say, well, they don't know that I go to church here. Well, someday they may find out. You see, if we have the attitude that I'm just going to say what I'm going to say, and that's who I am, and that's who the Lord made me, and that's just too bad for them. Well, I've got news for you. That is not who the Lord is making us become. Now, I'm not telling you got to dance around everybody's little whim and feeling and everything else. We can't do that. We can't do that effectively. But you know what? I've watched it. I've sat in these large meetings and staff meetings and with other pastors and staff, like I said earlier, and with small little committees and lay people and everything else. And I've watched. I watch how they communicate. I watch how they share an idea. I watch how they interact with one another. See, it's not just about the meeting for me. You see, I've watched people try to head up a project or an event and rally the people and have their planning meeting and recruit the people and assign things and have the discussions and all of this. And their goal is it's about conquering the hill. It's about completing the project. It's about, you know, we're going to make the event. It's going to be the best. And they get a lot of people to come. And when it's over, they're on to the next project. They pause for a moment on the top of the hill and said, look, we conquered the hill. We took the hill. It was a great event. We accomplished the project. We raised the money. We got so many people to come, etc., etc., etc. I've watched this happen. And as they're up there celebrating, all over the hillside is casualties. People they wounded along the way in their bullying, in their aggression, all of this because their goal was just to take the hill and make the project and make the event, and they didn't really care for the people along the way. If people and minimizing casualties is not part of the goal, then we're missing the point. Because it can look successful to you on the outward. You can make the sales. You can make the numbers. And you think that's the only goal? And you'll have wounded people and wounded staff and volunteers all around you? I got news for you. You're praising God and dancing on the hill, and Jesus isn't even pleased. I want you to know that you can still take the hill, and you can still complete the project, and you can still raise the money. And you can still meet the numbers. It might take a little longer to do it, but when you bring most of the people with you and they're not laying on the hillside of your life as casualties, wounded, broken, beat up people, it may have taken a little longer to, you know, get there and conquer the hill, but you're way healthier. And I'll tell you this, next time you're wanting to set a project and an event, you're going to have to be recruiting a whole lot of new people. Because the ones laying on the hillside, they're not real interested in being around you anymore. Not really. Because of the words you said and how you said it. This little piece stains your whole reputation. stains our whole body. And when we deal with believers, our expectation is high, like they're going to be perfect. I want you to know that they're going to disappoint you. And so when you listen, you need to listen with grace and you need to listen with mercy. And you need to look beyond sometimes the words that were shared and get to what they were really trying to communicate. You know the difference. I sit with people who have conflict. They both come into my office and I ask for one of them to tell the other one something that would be pertaining to them or what's going on. And then I'll stop and I'll ask the other person to repeat what they said. And then I'll ask that other person, say, is that what you said? That's not what I said. It is to what you said. It's not what I said. Well, this is what I meant. See? It's not. We can't always look at the actual words. We have to look at what they mean, what they're trying to communicate. That is called listening with grace and mercy rather than trying to listen to the exact word they said in the letter of the law. Say, this is what you said. This is what you said. This is what... See? Trouble brewing. Division. Hurt. Offense. James continues to write, the tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire entire course of life and set on fire by hell itself, keeping in mind that what we say and how we say it doesn't just stain us. It can stain the people around us. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. I want us to look at several proverbs. First one is in Proverbs 21, verse 23. Watch your tongue and keep your mouth shut, and you will stay out of trouble. Watch your tongue, keep your mouth shut, and you will stay out of trouble. Let me ask you, is there a lot of disturbance in your relationships, in your life? You know, there might be moments of, you know, the absence of strife, but does it kind of just keep coming around? Do you continue to have frustration with relationships, with people in your life? And it just kind of just all, you know, it's just... Your history's been that. You're still having that. It's just kind of always circling around you. Maybe you need to consider what the scriptures are saying this morning. If we would watch our words and how we say it and keep our mouth shut, we will stay out of trouble. We're an interesting creation, I will tell you. We are interesting in many facets, but this is one of the interesting things that I find out about, you know, us. Just because a thought comes into my mind does not mean that it has to come out of my mouth. We're interesting. A thought comes in, it's coming out of our mouth. I got an idea, it's coming out of our mouth. I took offense to what you said, so something else is coming out of my mouth. Do you know how much we could save on trouble in our life if we just wouldn't, you know, get in disputes with other people on Facebook? Now, I'm not against Facebook. You hear me say that? I'm not. I get it. You can banter. You can do whatever. You can, you know, if it's something good and you've got, hey, all great. But if it starts gnawing at you and you've got trouble with relationships and trouble with strangers and trouble with people in the body and trouble with people in your home and you're talking, listen, just because you had an idea or you had a thought, what is it that means we have to share it? Look at Proverbs 13:3. Those who control their tongue will have a long life. Opening your mouth can ruin everything. Have you ever had one of those conversations? It's been good. You bump into them, or you meet with them, or you're with the group, and it's all going good. And, you know, it's just, it's you're feeling good about it. Even if you had a little anxiety beforehand, you're going like, this is going good. And then some closing remark was made just before you leave that just ruined everything. You know? It could be like, you know, I'm having a good conversation with Sue, and I'm about to walk out of the house, and then I'll say something stupid like, "No, just make sure you brush your hair before you leave." That just ruined the whole deal, dude. I'm giving you guys total marriage foresight here for your future. You don't say stuff like that. Make a note. Okay? So, you know, you have this good conversation and somebody drops the other shoe or something. It's like it ruined everything. Just shut up. Why do you think Scripture says where words are many, sin's not far away? Those who control their tongue will have a long life. Opening your mouth can ruin everything. You know those conversations. It was going so good. Why didn't you just shut up right there? Right? Have you ever had that good moment with somebody and then they say, you know, and I was thinking, wait, don't share it. You know what? It's been so good so far. Please don't say anything else. I don't want it to be ruined. Right? Because sometimes you just keep talking and it just gets worse and it gets worse and it gets worse and now it's just ruined everything. Look at the next one. Fools have no interest in understanding. They only want to air their own opinions. Listen, we all have opinions. We all have them. But it does not mandate that because you have an opinion or I have an opinion that I have to share it. Because see, this is what happens. It doesn't mean we shouldn't share or that we can't share. We should. But it doesn't mean that we have to share all of our opinions with another person or with a group of people. See, there's a point where we trespass. And it's this. Something is shared at the meeting, whether it's you and another person, it's casual, or it's you're at a team meeting or business meeting, family meeting, whatever it is. Some encounter with another person or more. And they share something. And then you think, well, you know, I've got an opinion. And I'm going to say it this way because I am going to influence them about my opinion. So that when they hear me, or this group of people hears me, they're going to think, wow, that's pretty impressive. You see, at this point, when we step into this trying to share our opinion as if we've got this great insight, it is no longer the goal that we have in mind, the purpose of the meeting. It's not even about the care and the concern of the people at the meeting. It's now become about ourselves. That I'm going to share this because, you know, my opinion is going to totally blow away and go way further and sound more grand than anything else that anybody else has shared at the meeting. Because I've got this, you know, total insight. At that point, it's not about the goal and it's not about the people. It's just about your opinion and the appearance that we want to be smart. And so we may have some knowledge that others don't have. It doesn't mean that we have to share it or an opinion. Now listen, I am all about, you know, arguing, not fighting arguing, but like argue debate. You know, we see Paul do that in the Scripture over the study of God and the study of the ministry of the Holy Spirit among people and life change. You know, we get our apologetics, our defense of the faith. These are very important things that we find in Scripture. And so, you know, Paul writes things like, sure, there must be a difference or an argument between the two of you to prove which one has God's approval. I mean, he penned that. But there is so much more in the Old Testament and New Testament about how we communicate and how we talk and how we alleviate trouble from our life and the trouble we stir up and the broken relationships. Look at Proverbs 18, verse 6. We'll go a few verses more. Fools' words get them into constant quarrels. They are asking for a beating. In other words, is quarreling and conflict just kind of part of your appetite part of your life every week, every other week, and just with the people in your life or those you communicate with. I mean, are they just, you know, quarreling and that is just a constant part of your diet? I want you to know something. If that's the case, maybe it's time for us to say, look at ourselves and say, you know, maybe I'm a contributor to this. Now, where we step in a pitfall is if we feel like other people or the other person did the greater offense, we just focus on that. Instead of saying, did I contribute at all? We know that iron's supposed to sharpen iron. But if they were the greater offender, we sometimes don't pay attention to the speck in our own eye. See? We just look at their great offense, and we don't come clean with God and saying, you know, I was a contributor. I didn't respond right. I didn't hear it right. I didn't listen with grace and mercy. I had my own opinion. I shot off my mouth. Whatever it was, I let anger get the best of me. My frustration came out in words and in mannerism, and I'm communicating, you know. We just look at, well, if they were the greater offender, then they're at fault, as if we have no fault in it. We need to grow to the point where we understand that if quarreling is part of our regular diet and conflict, we're asking for a beating. No wonder our soul's not healthy. No wonder our relationships just beat us up in life. We've been asking for it. We think it's everybody else's fault. But maybe there's a part of this that we've contributed that we haven't paid attention to. And we need the iron to sharpen us and knock off the small burrs that we aren't paying attention to. Let's go a little further here. Proverbs 17:27. The one who has knowledge uses words with restraint, and whoever has understanding is even-tempered. And some translations will say that the person with understanding has a cool spirit. I kind of like that phrase. They just, you know, they're not running too hot. They're not just, you know, getting, you know, just blood vessels popping in their head. They're just even-tempered. And it says the one who has knowledge uses words with restraint. In other words, they may have knowledge. They may have information. They have an understanding of life and things like that, and an understanding of the Lord. And it doesn't mean that they just share it all. They use it with restraint. They pick and choose what they're going to share or say. It's like there's this gap that is between their thought and what's going to come out of their mouth. It's like there's this gap where they begin to weigh out what they're going to say rather than think it, say it. Think it, say it. Think it, say it. Think it, say it. There's this think, weigh it out, and now I'm going to choose what I'm going to say, and I may not say everything that I thought. I want us to move on in these scriptures. It's going to touch on this right now. Okay? Proverbs 15:28. The heart of the righteous weighs its answers, but the mouth of the wicked just gushes evil. Look at the difference between these two words, weighs and gushes. Weighs means I've got some opinions, I've got some thoughts, I've got some knowledge, I may have some insight, I certainly have an opinion. Let me take all this, I'm going to weigh it out. Don't say that, oh, add this, oh, modify that, oh, take this piece out. And now we come out with this thing that we have weighed, we have measured, we have gauged it, and we say, okay, now I'm going to speak it. That's the opposite of gushes. Think it, and it gushes out of our mouth. And we think of something else while we're gushing, and then we gush more. And it just gushes, and there's no filter, and it just in and out, and there and gone and out, and it just keeps gushing and gushing and gushing. That's totally different from the person who weighs things. I want to give you a communication tip. Just because somebody says something, it doesn't obligate you to answer. Why do we think when someone says something, it obligates us to answer? And therefore, this is the opportunity for my opinion. And we gush it out. If it's in the heat of the moment and you feel the gushers starting to build, it is a great time to say, you know what? What we're talking about, we should talk about again. I need to think about this some more. And now it buys you time to actually weigh it out. You see, I've been in those meetings where, or encounters, where, hey, we need to get together. And you come with an agenda. And you get to meet with them, and you do your, you know, hello, how you doing, blah, 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 blah. And then agenda. The problem is you're going with your agenda, and your goal is your agenda, and you just, but you didn't weigh out what you're going to say about what's on your agenda. It's just like, hi, how you doing? Let's get to the agenda. And now you're going off the cuff. And you didn't weigh out. All you did was weigh what you should talk about. You didn't weigh out how you should talk about it and what you're going to say about it. And now you're going off the cuff. And now words are coming out of your mouth and their mouth or their mouth, and all this thing goes sideways. Listen, I meet with lay people and full-time ministry people, and they go to their meetings, and they go meet with their team, and they go meet with another person or two, and it doesn't matter if it's, you know, this ministry or that ministry or this or that, or planning an event for a particular ministry. I'll say, okay, how did that meeting go? You get back to me, give me feedback, what went on? Oh boy, you know, yeah, this said and that, and they took it wrong, and I didn't mean that, and it comes back to, now you know what you were going to talk about, but did you plan on how you were going to say it and what you're going to say? And now we're at the point where, now I got to be humble and go back and, you know, mend the fence. Mend the bridge. Mend the relationship. All because we didn't take time to weigh what we were going to say and how we were going to say it. We only paid attention to the goal. Have the meeting and get through the points. And now, we leave casualties on the hillside. Our friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, our family, our spouse, volunteers. I'm going to close with this. It's the end of verse 45 in Luke chapter 6. And it says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. In other words, the mouth speaks what's in the heart. And if you and I don't take time to weigh what and how we're going to say it, we will gush. And when we gush, we're going to expose who we are as a person. Where if we weigh things out, we have time to work through things with the Holy Spirit in a way that we are not going to stain our whole body. It's the moment where we get to think and process. What should I say? How should I say it? Because what happens there has everything to do with my love for God first. Because how I love people determines how much I love God. And what's coming out of our mouth exposes what's in here. And if we don't go through the refining and purging with God first, stuff's going to come out of here. And you're going to realize who you are. And the people around you have probably already realized it if they have multiple encounters with you or live with you. So how do you deal with frustration? How do you deal with hurt? How do you deal with when somebody pushes your buttons? What kind of person are you to meet with? Do people like to meet with you? Or is there trouble and quarreling all around you all the time? Constant conflict. You see, these are all signals. And what you say and how you say it is either going to speak a good reputation for you, for God's people, and for God Himself, or it's going to stain you, stain others, stain your testimony of the Lord. I got news for you. When you say, well, they're not supposed to judge me. I got news for you. Yes, they are. And you run around and say, don't judge me. Don't judge me. Who are you to judge me? Listen, we're taking that scripture out of context. You need to look at the verse that says, yay, they're going to know us by our fruit. They're called to judge us. It doesn't mean that they pronounce final judgment. It doesn't mean that when we judge the fruit in one another's life, that we're pronouncing final judgment on anyone. There is only one final judge, and that is Him. But they're going to know us by our fruits. We all need God's grace and mercy to forgive us. And we need to cooperate with Him over having a guard over our mouth and how we say it. And in the moments where it's said wrong to us, we need to listen with grace and mercy, the kind of grace and mercy that we desire from God in our own life, we're supposed to give to our brothers and sisters, even though we think they should be perfect because they proclaim Christ. What's in your heart? Let's stand together, please. When we are tired, when we're frustrated, when we're hurt, whatever, we don't operate at the top of our game. It's understandable why we say things wrong or say it in the wrong way. But I'll tell you this, none of those are licenses. None of those give us license to do less than what we know to do, what should be in the sight of the Lord. In other words, just because I'm tired or hungry or had a long day, it does not give me license. I understand how it happens that we communicate in an improper manner, but it does not give us license. I understand how it happens, for I am a man. I'm human. But it doesn't give me license when I'm tired, hungry, or frustrated, or hurt to communicate in an improper way. We think that justifies it. It does not. It's a moment where we're weak. And if we will rely on Him, His grace will be sufficient. And we can be a man, woman of peace.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is the ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.